All right, good evening, everybody. Live video. I think we did do one yesterday. We had a class. Oh, no, I did a video yesterday. All right, listen, I want to give you guys some value this evening. And again, I try to bear in mind that a lot of people who are in this group now are not just New Jersey police officers. We have a lot of people from around the country. Actually, in other countries, we have a guy from Iceland who I've been in contact with. And we have a few people from Australia. And I think we have a few different, like, there's a lot of countries in this group, which is really, it's awesome for me to be able to come on here and help you educate and learn how to do this job a little more efficiently and better. And you know, how to employ proactive patrol techniques and tactics and criminal interdiction and case law and all this other jazz that we can try to give you to help you do your job better. And one thing what's interesting is, and I spoke about this in class yesterday, is asking people to step out of a car. I can't tell you how many people I know that are police officers trying to do interdiction work, I scratched my nose there, that are never asking somebody to step out of a car. When I taught this class and I was employed, because I'm medically retired now, at the police department that I worked for, I always had an opportunity to watch the next day of what people were doing with the tactics that I were teaching, what I was teaching them. And one thing I found is people were very apprehensive about asking drivers to step out of a car. Now, this is not just something that you should consider doing. If you have interest in being a proactive and an effective police officer, you have to get into the habit of asking people to step out of a car. Now, I'm not telling you to ask everybody to step out of a car. I'm telling you that when you find a vehicle, maybe a pretextual stop, and you've deemed it good enough to make that stop, and you come to the car for your phase two evaluation, and you feel this vehicle is good enough to have these people to continue further with this as a criminal investigation, you're going to want to separate everybody inside the car. Okay? Why are you going to pose questions about where you're coming from, where you're going to? The seven questions rule, if you're new to the group, but the seven questions rule is for every one broad question, you're going to ask seven additional questions. I know there's a lot of people, I know I'm repeating myself and it's redundant at times, but there are a lot of new people to this group who are not exploring past these videos or seeing live. And I want to implore you to do so. I want you to go back and watch some of the videos. We've done a lot of good content. We're trying to repost stuff so everybody can see it because you don't need to repeat it twice. Some of the videos were very, very informative. They had a lot of views. We just posted one today. We bumped it. It had 4.3 thousand views when we did it. It's a lot of views for a video in a group at that time that had about 7,000 people involved in the group. Not even, we're at like 5,000 at that time. So now we're up to 15,000 people, and it's a strong group. They're all vetted police officers. This is not an open group to the public. So anything that goes on in here, for the most part, is as tight and as tactical and as sound as we can make it from the eyes of the leering public who may misinterpret the things that are being taught here. These are effective tools. They're legal. And it's the only way good police work gets done. Now, back to the seven questions rule. How does that work? Let me show you. Again, I used the seven bagels thing last time. Let's take, you have somebody out of the car. You're asking them where they're coming from. Hey, man, where are you guys coming from today? We're coming from the movie theater. Where was the movie theater? What movie did you see? What time did you see it? What did you eat at the movies? What did the person you were with eat at the movie theater? Did you guys, what'd you pay? How'd you buy tickets? Did you pay cash? Did you pay credit? What time did you leave? What time were you there? You can go to 9-10 questions. But seven questions should help you build up a lot of RAS. Next question, where are you headed to? We're heading to Home Depot. Okay. What Home Depot are you going to? What are you buying at Home Depot? What do you need it for? Is he buying anything or is she buying anything at Home Depot? Does she know you're going to Home Depot? How are you paying for this item at Home Depot? I'm just giving examples. You know, all these questions, the best way you can build more RAS is to ask a ton of questions. People will get criticized and Monday morning quarterback left and right, not by the court system, but by coworkers that they didn't have enough reasonable suspicion. Remember, reasonable suspicion is subjective to the eyes of the reviewer. It's deemed on a case-by-case basis. Somebody recently asked me to make a reasonable suspicion checklist. Now, you're not going to go through all these all the time. I'm trying to educate everybody on what you need to do to develop this. I'm not talking about when you have a stop and you have probable cause. I'm talking about when you have a stop and you believe somebody may engage in criminal activity and you don't have before, during, or after a criminal offense, and you don't have enough PC to go in and make a search of that vehicle or to arrest at that junction. You're building a case. You're past the point where you think they're just innocent. You have deemed a lot of stuff going on in the totality of the circumstances that is abnormal on your motor vehicle stop. But to continue on with that, the reason you're going to ask these questions is because you're going to pose them against the other persons in the car, whether it's multiple occupants or another single occupant, or even that person. You're going to want to separate them from the vehicle. All right. Dan, screw me up, Dan. Dan wrote, I love the Home Depot on Bed Bath & Beyond if I have time. I know you do. So, I mean, who doesn't, Dan? Who doesn't love Home Depot and Bed Bath & Beyond? They're wonderful stores. We have a stack of 20% off coupons at my house. They are like gold. We bought our Dyson vacuum cleaner there and got 20% off. It was quite the bargain. And we got some towels recently and a zero water filter. Anyway, back to this. The reason you're going to separate people, because have you ever seen an investigation of maybe two murder suspects on the first 48? Do they ever put the people in the same room? So if you're posing questions to the driver and the passenger sitting next to them, and you're looking for inconsistencies in their stories or any kind of deception, well, what sense does it make if you're talking to them each other? Now, you may go into, well, is it legal to ask people out of a car? And certainly it is. There's a U.S. federal Supreme Court case, which you should have in your state. And it was known as Pennsylvania versus Mims. I will add that to the to this video. You can click the hyperlink and read the case. And then in New Jersey, we have State versus New Jersey versus Brian L. Smith, 1994, that stated that the Mims test as applied to driver satisfies the New Jersey Constitution as well. I'm going to tell you this, though. Don't get into the habit of asking people out of a car unless you suspect that they are good for that phase two evaluation and you're going to continue on with the investigation. If you stop a car and you're practicing and trying to get good at interdiction, it doesn't mean you have to have everybody step out of a car. If you come to the car and it's not what you thought it was, at least you didn't talk yourself out of a stop, but maybe you just were completely wrong about what the hell was going on in this car. Make sure you do a good vetting on the side of the road to make sure. Don't be so quick to evaluate it and walk away, because you'll kick yourself in the ass when that car's 15 miles up the road and you realize that you fucked up. So I know that it's unorthodox. Maybe some people haven't seen it. In New Jersey, we're kind of behind the times in interdiction and even the department that I worked at, we've never seen anybody asking anybody out of a car before. Maybe there was maybe one or two guys in the past who weren't in patrol division anymore. Myself and my original partner, Carlos Villegas, who was sure watching this video and more than likely naked doing that because he's a weird dude. We were the first guys in the department to start asking people to step out of a car. And it was looked at as unorthodox, but you know what? It's a very effective tool. And if you watch any interdiction videos, Sean Pardesi's, TJ Collins, you watch Brad's high-level interdiction stuff, like nobody remains in a car. Anybody you've gone to, Sean Smart, Mike Connors, Mike Lewis, all these names in interdiction, I guarantee you when you watch their videos, everybody steps out of the car. There's a reason why it's done. Not only is it important to hold stories up against each other, but you're also going to bring people outside of their comfort zone. That car acts like a barrier. You want to bring them out, calm them down, and begin to pose difficult questions to them after you set their baseline very monotone. You want to get people calmed down. You want them to think you're cool. Watch everybody's tactic. It's the same. You don't have to come up with your own tactic. The tactics that we've all employed are useful. They work. You don't have to rewrite the book. You just got to follow what we're teaching you to do. Get people calm and then pose those questions. You look for reactions. And the reactions, we can watch videos. I have videos from Kenny Williams. He gave me a few videos for my upcoming course. We're going to go through some of the things that he did with people there. And I can watch these videos and tell you exactly what's going on, just like any of these other guys can do of mine and other people's as well. It's a science behind it. When you understand how it works and you're reading people's body language, they're pretty much letting you know what's going on inside the car. And that's another reason for people to step out inside the car. Thirdly, the courts have said, look, it's safer for somebody to step out of a car. We understand that because a police officer on the side of the road can certainly see somebody in their hands off to the side, off to the front right of the police car versus somebody sitting in a car. They don't know what they're doing or if they're grabbing for a weapon. So it's really, the courts allow us to do this, not just for interdiction purposes, but for safety purposes. And just so you know, in New Jersey, you can remove passengers from motor vehicle. For some odd reason, a lot of you think you can't. Well, why don't you read State versus Taiwan Bacomb, which came out of New Jersey from two of my friends that I went to the academy with. One's like my life partner. He was one of my partners for a while in Woodbridge, very effective police officer. They're both narcotics detectives. And you can also check State versus Brian L. Smith, where they again discuss asking a passenger to step out of a car. And all you need is one fact or facts. And it's considered a heightened caution, but it doesn't have to be a danger factor. They get it. They get that it's dangerous to leave people in cars on these stops. Anyway, my advice to you is, take some of this stuff, think about it, employ it. Don't be so quick to sling mud at it and say, that's not how we do things. This is how effective police officers do things. You may not be comfortable with it. That goes for asking for consent and asking if there's anything illegal in the car. If you're not doing those things on motor vehicle stops and you're too afraid to, it's time to pop your cherry about asking difficult questions. Don't be afraid, because if you're that person who's apprehensive about posing those questions, is there anything illegal in the car, which you're allowed to ask, or would you want, if you built enough reasonable suspicion in New Jersey, asking for consent to search? If you can't do that, you're never going to be effective. Stop lying to yourself and saying you're a great cop, because you're not at this junction. You can be. if you're employing the right things, but with no confidence, how are you going to ever do this job the way you want to do it? You must ask these questions, and you're allowed to. It's legal. It's legal in the state of New Jersey. If you come to my class, I can explain it. Why it's legal, where it comes from. And just so you know, we had our first prosecutor attend the actual full 1-day training course yesterday, was so impressed with it. He was a guy that had reached out to me and had some questions, he was confused on a few things. This is a longtime prosecutor who teaches police officers. And he wrote to me, no bullshit. His name is Ed Shim. He's a Cape May County prosecutor. He came to the class. He deployed humility, showed up. I applaud him for his humility. And he said everything in the class he thought was amazing, excellent, accurate. And he fully endorses it and is bringing it back to the Cape May County Prosecutor's Office to try to get everybody on the same page with what we're explaining here to New Jersey police officers. So I am working on getting more prosecutors to attend this training so they can understand what we're doing. And if I can try to dispel any concerns they may have, we're teaching the right thing here. And again, the truth is always undefeated. We keep winning and keep coming out on top because what we're teaching is correct. We're not teaching bullshit. There's a big responsibility to be accurate when you're doing something like this. I take that very, very seriously. So with that being said, that's tonight's tool. Go out, use it, employ it, do this job better, be the cop you want to be. It's out there. It's your job to go find it. I'm trying to give you the knowledge to do it. I'm trying to give you years and years and years of my training experience and the experience of other police officers who I'm friends with, in contact with, and have worked with to help you do this job better. This is the cheat sheet. This is like getting somebody at a high level in a corporation or business to give you business tips and tricks to get you to make more money and make your business successful. Same thing here. Let's see what we got here. And we'll just write stupid shit. No problem. Brendan Michael, Chile. The guys in the Home Depot parking lot do great work, by the way. Yeah, they really do. With that being said, guys, I hope you found some value in this. I'll try to get back on here tomorrow. I try to give you as much time as I can. We'll be doing some cool stuff in the future. We're shooting a lot of video. We have a lot of cool things coming out. We have a full-time publisher now. We're publishing articles. She's working with us. She was here today. We're going to be doing some real, real cool stuff for the future. So stay tuned. Thank you for being a part of the group. Really, I may come across very energetic when I'm teaching, but I'm a very humble man. And I just want to thank all of you for taking the time to watch these videos. And I appreciate your attention. Have a good night.